Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, August 3rd, 2021. Psalm.
Oh, you're quiet. That's, yeah. One announcement. Linda Roskins has been called home to heaven. She is now face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. If you will please keep the entire Roskins family in your prayers. We offer our condolences to her husband Dan, her son Ryan, and her sister Sherry Baum. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 33, the Psalm of National Deliverance, perhaps the most important study we could have at this time in our nation's history. Psalm 33. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, giving you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And now we are qualified to do a right thing, worship the Lord, the right way, by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for one more day of freedom you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, 8 key facts about the mark of the beast. The Bible uses only a few words to describe the mark of the beast money system. But that description gives us an amazing amount of information. Here are just 8 of the things it teaches us. Number 1. This system will be global. Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8 says, authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him, the Antichrist. and all who dwell on the earth will worship him. The mark of the beast will be tied to his authority and will be part of the worship people give to him. Number two, the mark will be required by law, and no one will be exempt. Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17 says that the false prophet causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. So wealth will not buy an exemption, and neither will poverty. Number three, some will reject the mark despite the law. Now, the end of the next prophetic event in the Word of God is the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. At the rapture, all believers are removed from the earth. The dead in Christ rise first. Those who are living, their bodies are changed instantly and receive a resurrection body. All believers are removed from the earth at the rapture. When the tribulation, 7-year tribulation period, began, there are no believers on the earth when it began. However, there will be those who will believe in Christ during the tribulation. And those people who do believe in Christ will refuse, many of them will refuse to receive the mark of the beast. And they will be beheaded, martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. After the rapture, others will turn to Christ. Those post-rapture followers, believers in Christ, will be distinguished in part by the fact that they will refuse the mark of the beast. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the Word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. Number four, the mark of the beast will be the culmination of a great deception. Revelation 13:14 says that the false prophet deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. This deception leads directly to the mark. Number five, Satan will empower the mark system. Daniel 8:24 makes this intriguing statement about the Antichrist. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. He will be empowered by Satan. We find that verse explained in Revelation 13:2. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And we know from Revelation 12:9 and 20 verse 2 that the dragon is Satan. Number six, the mark of the beast will be the ultimate rejection of God. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Number seven, the Antichrist and false prophet will use the mark as a weapon against believers. Revelation 13:7 is speaking of Antichrist when it says And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Imagine a worldwide law. It's not that hard to realize when you see what's going on. Imagine a worldwide law that does not allow anyone without the mark to buy or sell. Interesting, the state of New York just passed a law. No vaccination, no service. The handwriting's on the wall. Imagine a worldwide law that does not allow anyone without the mark to buy or sell. In our jobs, we sell our work, services, or creative output. In our day-to-day living, we buy food, clothes, transportation, and housing. All that will stop for tribulation believers because they will refuse the mark of the beast. That's one of the ways that Antichrist will make war with them and overcome them. Number 8, the mark system will not last long. At the halfway mark of the 7-year tribulation period, Antichrist will shatter his covenant with Israel. In the last 3.5 years, known as the Great Tribulation, pain and chaos will reign on the earth. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ will return. The Antichrist and the false prophet will be thrown into the lake of fire. The 7 years will seem long to those experiencing it, but in the context of eternity, it will be like nothing. Our time here is short. We need to get the Word of God. You need to get the Word of God in your heart, and we need to get the Word of God out to everyone we can by every means available. Absolutely right. But that's why Upland Bible Church is here. It's the only reason why Upland Bible Church is here, to get the truth of the Word of God out to as many people as possible. Psalm 33, probably the most important study you can have, or any believer can have at this time in history. The Psalm of National Deliverance. It is such a powerful psalm, and paragraph verses 6 through 9, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is shown in creation. Why is that paragraph given first? Because the power of Jesus Christ, who created the universe and is holding the universe together, that's the same power that controls history. Jesus Christ created the universe. He's sustaining the universe. And the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ in history is seen in the principle, Jesus Christ, the omnipotent God, controls history. You think things are out of control? They aren't out of control. Jesus Christ controls history. Everything that is going on in the world is under the principle that Jesus Christ controls history. So in verse 10, that's the paragraph verses 10 to 19. Verse 10, corrected translation, the Lord frustrates, nullifies, foils the plans, the designs, the machinations of the nations. He brings to nothing the devices, the conspiracies of the peoples. Verse 11, the plan of the Lord remains standing forever. the thoughts, plans, and purposes of his heart for all generations. Verse 12, happinesses to that nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has elected to privilege for his own inheritance. And then in verses 13 and 15, we have the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ related to the principle that Jesus Christ controls history. Verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is caused to look from the heavens with full understanding. He sees all mankind. From the place of his throne, he is caused to gaze intently with full understanding at all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 15, the one, the Lord, who forms the hearts of all at one time, the one who understands and attends to all their works. And then in verses 16 and 17, we have what will not deliver a client nation in times of historical crisis and national disaster. Verse 16, no king, no nation is delivered by a great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is strong delusion for victory. Therefore, by his great strength, great army, he cannot deliver. And then that followed by verses 18 and 19. This is what will deliver the client nation to God in times of historical crisis and national disaster. Behold, that is the Hebrew word hine, a very special and powerful word to wake everybody up. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. These are winner believers that have advanced to spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They have personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. The emphasis here is on occupation with Christ of the winner believer. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, occupation with Christ. The eyes of the Lord are on the ones who wait with confidence for his grace, maximum faith rest function. The verb there used to describe faith rest is yakal in the Hebrew. Literally, it means to wait with confidence. It was used of a person trusting even though he was in extreme pain. Even though you are in extreme pain and suffering, you have confidence of deliverance. The winner believer, the believer who fears the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, he has maximum confidence of deliverance, either in the midst of the suffering, while the crisis and disaster is going on, in the midst of the suffering. And how does he have that? Because he has God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of his soul. Forward line of troops. God's problem-solving devices. And so the crisis can be going on, the disaster going on. There can be even extreme pain and suffering, but he has maximum confidence of deliverance in the midst of the suffering. You haven't seen anything yet in America, but you're not going to have to wait too long. You're going to see a lot of things you've never seen before. So the winner believer, as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, has maximum confidence of deliverance, either in the midst of the suffering. My grace is sufficient for you, God said to Paul when he was being beaten up by a demon, thorn in the flesh, beaten up and beaten up and beaten up. And Paul prayed for God to take it away and take it away and take it away. And God said, no, 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 I'm not taking it away. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, when the disaster hits here, crisis and disaster, God's grace is sufficient for you. You should know that. You should be moving right on. You might have some pain and suffering, but you have maximum faith rest function in your life. And sometimes God will deliver you from the suffering. He is the one, He's the quarterback. Now you have it in a term here, sovereignty of God. Now you might not, I can say sovereignty, maybe you can't even spell it, I don't know. Some of you can, a lot of you can't. The sovereignty of God. Now if you can't figure out what that means, it means He's the quarterback. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays, you don't. God calls the plays. He's the quarterback. He's the potter, we're the clay. We don't tell Him what to do. His decisions are perfect, His plans are perfect, He's the sovereign God. So what we have here is Yah-Kal, which is the problem-solving device of faith rest, which correlates and coordinates all of the other problem-solving devices out on the flat line of the soul. The verb is in the PAL stem. That's the intensive use of the faith rest life as a problem-solving device. The participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun and therefore is correctly translated to the ones who wait with confidence for His grace. This is the Lord's grace. The winner believer waits with maximum confidence for the Lord's grace in times of extreme pain and suffering, in times of historical crisis and national disaster. The winner believer knows that he is encapsulated by the integrity of God. The winner believer knows that he is on the receiving end of the Lord's grace pipeline. With the justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness of God in him on the other end. The winner believer knows that grace blessings will come down that grace pipeline to him from the justice of God to imputed righteousness, both logistical grace blessing and support and greater grace blessings given to the winner believer. So this is the key. Verse 18. National deliverance in times of historical crisis and national disaster. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. Occupation with Christ. On the ones who wait with confidence for His grace. Maximum faith rest function. Now in verse 19, the maximum faith rest function and occupation with Christ of the winner believer in verse 18 is now applied to two specific problems in verse 19. Problem number one, dying. Problem number two, well, the word is famine. It's economic disaster in the ancient world. The economy was based on agriculture. And so famine illustrates economic disaster. By the way, everything that is being done right now from the leadership of this nation is guaranteeing economic disaster. That's the only result that can come about. Everything that this administration is doing will result in economic disaster. Guaranteed. So we have first problem number one, dying. To rescue their soul from death. The word there, rescue, is natsal. It means to take away from danger, to snatch away from danger, to rescue, to cause, to deliver. The Lord snatches away from danger, rescues, is caused to deliver their souls from death. This is a reference to historical crisis and national disaster in which a lot of people die, but you do not. The winner believer does not, unless God's plan for your life is finished. But for the winner believer, while there's a lot of people that will be dying all around you, you will not. The reason why you don't die is because God still has a plan for your life. God still has a purpose for your life. God still has a reason for you to be alive. Nothing can remove you from this life. No historical crisis, no national disaster, nothing, until God's plan for your life on earth is finished. The Apostle Paul, he didn't die of a disease, of sickness. He was in great health. The Apostle Paul was in great health. Why did he die? Because God's plan for his life was over. When he finished 2 Timothy, the New Testament, for the most part, was done. I know John still had to write Revelation, but for the most part, most of the critical truth of the church age was written by Paul, and he wrote 2 Timothy right before his beheading by Nero and the Roman authorities. And he was in great health. He was only 70 years old. Only 70. Harlan's going to have his birthday tomorrow. I've already seen the headline in the paper. 5-alarm fire in southwest Las Vegas from man who tried to light the candles on his cake. See, Harlan's got a great sense of humor. Some of you don't know him that well. That could be a blessing. Or But Paul, God's plan for Paul's life was over. He didn't die of sickness. He finished the last book that he wrote, 2 Timothy. And then he says, I finished the race. He crossed the finish line. You see, God loves track and field. Paul crossed the finish line. And so he went home. He didn't say, I'm too young to die. No, he was happy. He was occupied with Christ. He shared the happiness of God. He had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He had phenomenal inner peace. And he went up, and the lictor's axe came up, and Paul was happy. And the lictor's axe came down, and Paul was in heaven. Because God's plan for his life was finished. Now, when God's plan for your life is finished, you're going home. And so you can relax on that. Now, you can go home before that if you make so many bad decisions and live in the cosmic system that you go through warning discipline, intensive discipline, and then you leave early under dying discipline. You can go early by your own bad decisions. But when you're making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you go home at the exact right time. Exact right time. You finished the race. You fought the good fight. So it's absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. And you'll be looking forward to those crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Nothing can remove you from this life. No historical crisis, no national disaster, nothing until God's plan for your life on earth is finished. No believer will leave this life until the sovereignty of God says it is the exact right time for you to come home. When it is the exact right time for the winner believer to go home, physical death, he will walk through his valley of the death shadow, Psalm 23:4. He will go through it with no fear. He will go through it occupied with Jesus Christ. He will go through it with great inner happiness and inner peace. Dying is a marvelous thing for the spiritually mature believer because he has the spiritual riches of metabolized doctrine in his heart. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He does share the happiness of God. He does have a personal sense of destiny. He does have great inner peace. And he has maximum faith rest function. To rescue their soul from death. That's the first problem, verse 19. Then problem number two, economic disaster. And to keep them alive in famine. And again, we're addressing the winner believers of verse 18. Those, behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, occupation with Christ. On the ones who wait with confidence for His grace, maximum faith rest. And to those winner believers, they're rescued, their soul is rescued from death, and the Lord keeps them alive in times of economic disaster. What we have here is the conjunction vav, prefix to the PL infinitive construct of the verb kaya, plus the preposition beth, prefix to the noun ra'av. See, in Hebrew, if I said some of these words pronouncing the letters properly, the front row would be covered in my saliva. So I protect you with all the things you don't want me to spit on you. And of course, you might be concerned about COVID. I'm not concerned about COVID. Some people want to know if I've been vaccinated. No. Am I going to be vaccinated? No. And if I can't buy or sell, well, then I'll see how the Lord provides the food. I'll come over to your house. Well, I know how I provide some of it. Rich will go up to Alaska and bring back salmon and moose. We've already had sockeye salmon. It's the best salmon you can eat in the whole world, sockeye salmon. I have salmon every week. Salmon Saturday. Come hell or high water, Salmon Saturday. And we had not only salmon, we had Moose Monday. Salmon Saturday and Moose Monday. So if nobody will sell me anything because I haven't been vaccinated, well, I'll just send Rich up to Alaska. So we have, first of all, the conjunction vav. I know you'll hear some people call it a wow. That is not a wow. It is a vav. Vav means and. It introduces problem number two. Problem number two, economic disaster. And then kaya, the verb kaya. C-H-A-Y-A-H, kaya. A couple of things on the verb kaya. In the cow stem, it means to live or to have life. To live or to have life. Two, in the PL stem, which is what we have, it means to let live, to preserve alive, to keep alive. To let live, to preserve alive, to keep alive. Three, the Lord preserves alive and keeps those believers alive who fear Him, occupation with Christ, and who wait with confidence in His grace, maximum faith rest, in times of famine, economic disaster. The Lord preserves the alive and keeps those believers alive, winner believers who fear Him, occupation with Christ, and wait with confidence in His grace, maximum faith rest, in times of famine, economic disaster. 4, Ra'av. R-A-I-N-A-B. Ra'av. Ra'av means famine. It means extreme hunger. Famine or extreme hunger. In the agricultural economy of the ancient world, this referred to economic depression, economic disaster. Now there's also economic recession. Economic recession precedes economic depression. Economic recession is in the second cycle of national discipline. Economic depression is in the fourth cycle of national discipline. Leviticus chapter 26, we'll be noting that a little bit later. So in the agricultural economy of the ancient world, this referred to economic depression or disaster. 5, one of the greatest sources of suffering in life is economic depression or economic disaster. And you will see this in the scriptures in a moment. One of the greatest sources of suffering in life is economic depression or disaster. 6, economic depression deprives you of many of the necessities of life. It deprives you of many of the necessities of life. Seven, economic depression is related to historical crisis and national disaster in the first 4 cycles of national discipline. Economic depression is related to historical crisis and national disaster in the first 4 cycles of national discipline. So verse 19 says, to rescue their soul from death and to keep them alive in economic disaster and famine. So verses 18 and 19, this is the key. This is where you want to be. And this is the key to the deliverance of Client Nation USA. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, occupation with Christ, on the ones who wait with confidence for His grace, maximum faith rest, to rescue their soul from death and to keep them alive in economic disaster. All right. 1. Economic disaster. Whose fault is it? Biden's. No, I see. It's easy to throw out and name people, the lousy Democrats, those lousy socialists and liberals. And economic disaster. Whose fault is it? In the Word of God, whose fault is it? See, everybody likes to think politically. You think you're going to solve America's problems by your politics? You are crazy. Politics will not deliver America. And there are a lot of Christians, they get so involved in crusader arrogance. And they run around to all the political things going on, out to Washington, D.C., over to here, over to there. And that this is somehow going to deliver our nation. Bullshit. Me, I know, in the Bible. See, there's in the Bible. Me, I know. It's not going to deliver America. You think politics are going to deliver America? You're crazy. will never, ever, ever happen. Economic disaster. Whose fault is it? One, the economic status of the client nation to God is often a barometer of the spiritual status of that client nation. The economic status of the client nation to God is often a barometer of the spiritual status of that client nation. Two, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. We don't need believers in crusader arrogance running all over the country. We need believers with positive volition and genuine humility assembling in a sound Bible-teaching church and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need believers having virtue love brought to completion in their heart. We need believers that are occupied with Jesus Christ. We need believers who have maximum faith rest function in their soul, God's problem-solving devices out on the flaw in their soul, because they consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible-teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That's verse 18. Notice what it doesn't say in verse 18. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who run to all the political things. That's not there. What, did God make a mistake? No. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, occupation with Christ, on the ones who wait with confidence for His grace. Three, you can always count on the fact that the economic status is a reflection of the spiritual status of that nation. You can always count on the fact that the economic status is a reflection of the spiritual status of that nation. Four, depression, famine means the pivot of mature believers is shrinking. It means believers are not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It means believers are not advancing to spiritual maturity. It means believers are caught up in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. Five, therefore, God is exercising His divine prerogative in administering the five cycles of national discipline, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 and following. All five cycles are given there in Leviticus 26, 14 and following. We'll be going there. Just hold your horses, Newt. Point two, definition. One, famine in the Bible refers to economic depression and economic disaster. Famine, the word famine in the Bible refers to economic depression and economic disaster. Two, Jesus Christ prophesied that there would be many wars and famines until He comes back at the second advent. Jesus Christ prophesied there would be many wars and famines until He comes back at the second advent. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, Jesus is holding a Bible class, another Bible class. He held lots of Bible classes. Jesus Christ prophesied there would be many wars and famines until He returns at the second advent. Matthew 24, verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, hot wars, and rumors of wars, cold wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. These things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, economic depression and disaster, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of the birth pain. Three, since the Bible advocates through the laws of divine establishment, free enterprise, any violation of establishment truth in the Word of God, through arrogance, a human good or evil, results in recession and depression. You see, there is gospel truth for unbelievers, doctrinal truth for believers, establishment truth for the whole human race, believer and unbeliever alike. And a part of establishment truth is free enterprise. Any violation of this through arrogance, human good or evil, results in recession and depression. Four, economic depression is for divine punishment and judgment of a nation that is in apostasy, degeneracy, and reversionism. Economic depression is for divine punishment and judgment of a nation in apostasy, degeneracy, and reversionism. All right, you got your Bibles? Anybody here without a Bible? Oh, you got a good group here. All right. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Isaiah 51, start there. Isaiah 51. Now when Isaiah was writing, he was writing to the southern kingdom, and they were getting very close to the fifth cycle of national discipline. So close, in fact, that Sennacherib from the Assyrians came down and destroyed kingdom after kingdom after kingdom and came all the way down to Jerusalem. And Sennacherib's army surrounded Jerusalem. And we have in archaeology an obelisk that has been discovered. And Sennacherib bragging, I got the Jews all surrounded like a bird in a cage. All I got to do is just go in and take it. And that was true. The southern kingdom, Jerusalem, was totally surrounded and ready to be destroyed. But Isaiah had been teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. Hezekiah had been making good decisions to learn doctrine. The people in the nation were responding to Isaiah's teaching. They were turning back to God, back to the Word of God. There was a spiritual revival that had been going on. Their military was zilch. They had no military. And they're surrounded, well, I don't know what the total size of the army was. All I know is 185,000 Assyrians died in seconds in one night. Not because of the army of Israel, because Jesus Christ fought for them And Jesus Christ holds the record for killing the enemy in battle. 185,000 in one night. It didn't take all night either. It took seconds. But of those who weren't killed in the 185,000, they were sleeping. When they got up the next morning and tried to wake up Bill and Frank and Joe, and they were all dead. And Sennacherib, being the wise leader, said, "This is a bad omen." And he turned around and went home. And the southern kingdom was delivered. But they responded to Isaiah. They responded to the teaching of doctrine by Isaiah. They weren't delivered by the military. They weren't delivered by a great army. They were delivered by Jesus Christ, because there was a remnant, a pivot of believers that had gotten large enough that Jesus Christ delivered them. Isaiah 51, verse 17. "Awake, awake, wake up, rise up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of His wrath." Now, wrath here is an anthropopathism. It's an anthropopathism for the integrity of God, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. That comes across in this anthropopathism as God's wrath. Okay? So this is the function of the integrity of God. "Wake up! Wake up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of His wrath, you who have drained to its dregs the goblet that makes men stagger." Verse 19. "These double calamities have come upon you. Who can comfort you? Ruin and destruction, famine, economic disaster, and sword, military invasion. Who can console you?" Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was just as great a Bible teacher as Isaiah was, but in Jeremiah's day, the people rejected his teaching. In fact, they hated Jeremiah. They didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't want to go to Bible class. In fact, they wanted to kill Jeremiah. They rejected all that he taught. And they wound up being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans and slaughtered, absolutely slaughtered. Men, women, babies, children, slaughtered. The survivors taken to Babylon. But Jeremiah was not. Nebuchadnezzar spared Jeremiah. He stood, sat down on a hill and watched all this take place. Jeremiah 14, verse 13. "But I said, O sovereign Lord, the false prophets keep telling them, the people, you will not see the sword. There will be no military invasion. You will not suffer famine. There will be no economic disaster. Indeed, I will give you lasting peace in this place." This is what the false prophets were teaching. Everybody was listening to them. Nobody was listening to Jeremiah. Verse 14. "Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies. They're prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the deception of their own hearts. And therefore, this is what the Lord says about the prophets who are prophesying in my name. I did not send them. Yet they are saying, no sword, no military invasion, no famine, no economic disaster will touch this land. Those same prophets will perish by the sword, military invasion, and famine, economic disaster. And the people they are prophesying to will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine, economic disaster, and the sword, military invasion. And there will be no one to bury them, or their wives, or their sons, or their daughters. I will pour out on them the calamity they deserve. Turn over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 17. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, military invasion, famine, economic disaster, and plague, disease, against them. And I will make them like poor figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword and famine and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, and an object of cursing and horror, of scorn and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have, here's the reason why, for they have not listened to my words. It's a spiritual issue. They did not listen to the teaching of Bible doctrine from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the greatest Bible teachers of all time. And they hated Jeremiah. They threw him in a pit to die. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord. Words that I sent to them again and again by my servants, the true prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 14. I will make you a ruin and a reproach among the nations around you, in the sight of all who pass by. You will be a reproach and a taunt, a warning and an object of horror to the nations around you when I inflict punishment on you in anger and in wrath. And again, this is anthropopathism for the righteousness and justice of God. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. That's the anger and wrath of God. And with stinging rebuke, I, the Lord, have spoken. When I shoot at you with my deadly and destructive arrows of famine, economic disaster, I will shoot to destroy you. I will bring more and more famine upon you and cut off your supply of food. I will send famine, economic disaster, and wild beasts against you, and they will leave you childless. plague, disease, and bloodshed will sweep through you, and I will bring the sword, military invasion, against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Economic depression is for divine punishment and judgment of a nation in apostasy, degeneracy, and reversionism. You can't get any clearer than Isaiah 51, 17 to 19, Jeremiah 14, 13 to 16, Jeremiah 29, 17 to 19, Ezekiel 5, 14 to 17. And that's why verses 18 and 19. Here's the basis of deliverance of a nation. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. Occupation with Christ. On the ones who wait with confidence for His grace. Maximum faith rest function. To rescue their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine, economic disaster. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.